Amen. I believe we owe God a little better praise than that, don't you?
Yes.
Come on, be honest. Don't you feel like we owe God a little bit better than that? Hallelujah!
Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is great.
I said the Lord is great. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many feel that you have some spiritual need here today? Amen. Glory. Glory. There are some needs, of course, I know naturally. There are just some things you become aware of from time to time about people. So you know some things naturally. And we're concerned about that. But we're concerned about all the things that we don't know about as well. We're equally concerned about that. There are some things, I guess, maybe I'm a little partial about. But there are some things that I'd like to see the Lord do in this service. And I mean that sincerely. I couldn't even begin to tell you, but I want you to at least be together with me in the Holy Ghost and trust me that some things that I desire right now to see God do before this service is over, at least set in motion. Huh? Amen. Hallelujah. God's able to set the wheels turning in the right direction. Everybody say, God is able. He can do that. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar said when his understanding returned to him, he said, surely, he's the God that rules among the children of men. Hallelujah. Now you think he don't have anything to do with sinner folk. I got news for you. He can put it in sinner people's hearts and minds to perform his will. He can move on them and they'll wake up the next day and wonder what in the world came over and why they done it. I'm telling you that we're serving a big God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. I want us to worship the Lord. I want you to close your eyes just for a moment, if you will. Give me the key, Vanessa. What he was saying, he's bigger than anything. I want you to just center your mind and your spirit. I want you to zero in on what you want God to do for you tonight. Would you do that? Would you just try to blank everything else out? And I know that this is many times this is a big hindrance even when we kneel to pray. Is just being able to shut everything else out and just get our affections and our mind and our spirit centered on spiritual things. But would you attempt to do that with me tonight? Hallelujah. There are people here that needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There are other people here that needs to be revived. There are people here that need some personal problems worked out. Amen. Huh? Amen. There are people here that no doubt need healing. Glory. But you know what? God has given us, unlike most doctors, they got to examine you, go through the whole deal to prescribe the right medicine. We got one anecdote for the whole business. And that's just enough of the Holy Ghost will fix it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Just a touch of the Holy Ghost can heal a cancer. A touch of the Holy Ghost can fix family problems. That's right. A touch of the Holy Ghost, that'll make the hardest man repent and get right with God.
Hallelujah. I've seen hardened men curse violently, curse the church, curse the people of God. But I've seen God just melt their heart and break their spirit and them be on their face before God, begging God for repentance and to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm telling you that God is able to fix whatever's wrong in your life tonight. He's bigger than all our problems, bigger than all our fears. God is bigger than any mountain I can cannot see. He's bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I cannot see. He's bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain I can't hold. We're not going to run away with it. Okay? I want you to understand what you're singing about, that God is the big one. Huh? God is the big God. Everybody say, God is the big God. Hallelujah. If I didn't believe that, I'd be the biggest fool in the world. He can get up here and try to preach. Because if God ever wants to make a fool out of anybody, this is as good a chance as he's got. Amen. Amen. I can't help you. But I can point you to Jesus and he can help you. Hallelujah. He's bigger than all our problems, bigger than all our fears. God is bigger than any mountain I cannot see. He's bigger than all our problems. God is bigger than any mountain I cannot see. Yes, he's bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain I cannot see. He's bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I cannot see. He's bigger than all the shadows that fall across my path. God is bigger than any mountain I cannot see. He's bigger than all the confusion. He's bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I cannot see. He's bigger than all the I cannot see. Well, I know bigger than any mountain, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I cannot see. He's bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I cannot see. He's bigger than all the giants of fears and unbelief. God is bigger than any mountain I cannot see. He's bigger than all my hang-ups. He's bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I cannot see. Well, he's bigger than all the God is bigger than any mountain I cannot see. Well, he's bigger than all my problems. Mississippi mouth. I can or cannot. You believe that? He's bigger than all the shadows that fall across my path. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. He's bigger than all the confusion, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. Oh, he's bigger than all. He's bigger than all my friends, bigger than anything. He's bigger than anything. I can't breathe. He's bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. He's bigger than all my strength. He's bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. Hallelujah. Amen. While you remain standing just for a moment, this musician stay put just for a second, if you will, please. Appreciate that. The 10th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Praise God. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And with this confession and acknowledgement to the Lord, Jeremiah then makes a plea. O Lord, and I think that he, if I understand it, he is pleading in behalf of not only himself, but Israel. And he said, O Lord, correct me. O Lord, correct me. And I like what he said. But with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. I want to read you what, and please don't be offended by this. I want to read to you what the Living Bible said. And I think it's well in harmony with what Jeremiah said. Correct me, Lord, but please be gentle. Don't do it in your anger, for I would die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say, correct me, Lord.
Correct me, Lord.
I want to be right.
I want to be right.
I want to be right. Hallelujah. 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 Let's direct our attention toward the Lord now. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He's bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. He's bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. He's bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. thing God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. You may be seated.
And I appreciate your attention. Thank you. Praise God. It was always a painful thing to my heart to correct my daughter when she needed correcting. It was a painful thing for me to take a belt and have to work on her a little bit. But it needed to be done. My wife used to say, how can you sit and talk to her so calm and then take a belt and wear her out? I said, how could I do it any other way? I want her to understand why she is being corrected. And I want her to know that I'm doing it because I care, not because I hate her. I want her to know that I'm doing it because I love her and not because I'm mad at her. I've seen parents just get mad and go to slapping, and they'd hit their kids with the first thing they put their hand on. I don't like that. I don't think the Lord liked that either. How would you like for God to start dealing with you like that? But God's gentle, and He's patient, and He's long-suffering, and He's kind toward humanity. If He wasn't, we'd all be in a terrible fix today if it wasn't for the mercy of God.
That's
right. But I have seen, and I have studied a little bit, not in depth perhaps, but to some degree, I've looked into causes of child abuse. I have done some reading. I have talked to a few psychiatrists along the way that have dealt with this problem. I have talked to people that work on hotlines in different cities that helps deal with a few of these problems, and reading some literature about it. And it's astounding. It really is astounding. A lot of the chief causes behind it all, which we'll not try to go into. You bear with me just 15 or 20 minutes here. I promise you I won't be lengthy. I think I can promise you that and be in all safety in doing so. But I just want to try to project a thought here with you and leave it with you and go from there. But children, my heart has went out to children that have lived in our neighborhood from time to time because I felt like they were mistreated and did not get the love and the attention that they so desperately needed. I have been around children. We picked them up and took them to church and Sunday school, and they're just hanging on you, just wanting just a little bit of attention because they were so starved for a little love and affection. And it seems like, really, in all sincerity, we've got a world out there that is really starved for genuine love and affection. I'm not talking about physical emotion, and I'm not talking about sexual emotion that runs wild and gets out of hand and all that. That's not what I'm talking about that. I'm talking about real, genuine concern, real love, real help, people reaching out, looking, searching, wanting to get a hold of something that is sure. Now, mind you, not everybody is. Everybody is not. People say, I hear it said a lot of times, we've got what the world wants. No, we don't. The world, the majority of the world in general, does not want what we've got. It's available. It's in almost every town. It's being preached on the radio. In some fashion, they are being touched in a measure by the Word of God. But everybody does not want this. But there are a few hungry souls out there, scattered here and yonder, that is looking for a little real security, looking for the real truth of God, looking for real love, looking for somebody that will care and embrace them with the truth of Almighty God.
And these are the people that you, if you're here tonight, you're the one we're trying to reach. You're the one that we're fishing for. We don't have any secrets. We're after you. If you're not saved, we're after you. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, that's our utmost desire, is to see you filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not trying to sneak up on you tonight. I'm telling you plain, in plain truth, that I am wanting to see you saved. And I am wanting to see you filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you without reservation, we want to see you go down in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. Hallelujah. This is one way that God has in trying to correct you. He'll try to correct you by the preaching of the Word. This is God's method. This is one of God's methods. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. Huh? It pleases God to save you if you'll listen to the preaching of the Word of God. But God wants you to pay attention to the Word of God, not try to find some avenue of escape where, in your particular case, it does not apply. Isn't it amazing sometimes when you begin to talk to people and you pull the Word on them, they'll try to find some reason why it does not apply in their case, but it applies in your case just like it does mine. And what it took to save you, it took to save me. And what it took to save me, it's going to take to save you. I'm not talking about personal conviction that has to do with our spiritual walk and our consecration after serving God and coming to God. I'm talking about real true repentance and turning away from the things that the Word of God absolutely forbids. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to turn away from that. Not because He hates you, but because He loves you. Have you ever stopped to consider the things that are preached and taught against in this pulpit? We're not just preaching and teaching against a lot of things. We're telling you a lot of things that will be beneficial to you. We've got a lot of good things, y'all. We've got a lot of good things that will fill the place of everything that we tell you to lay down and turn aside from. We've got something else to supplement and take the place of. Only thing that God has ever asked you to turn away from is the things that are harmful to you and things that take away from your own peace of mind and take away from your own happiness. The things that the pastor asked us to leave alone and stay away from. It's for our benefit. It's things that will lead you in the wrong direction and take away from your tranquility and peace of mind and harmony with God in the church. Hallelujah. We're not up here just to try to draw a bunch of lines and rules and regulations and legislate a well line for people to walk so we can say we're lording over people. It's not our desire. It's because we care. We preach to you for the same reason I whipped my daughter when she needed it. Because I loved her. I did not want her growing up without having understanding of the things that was good and bad for her. Hallelujah. If we didn't care, we wouldn't bother to preach to you. If we didn't care, we'd let you go on deceived. If we didn't care, we'd just be ready to pocket your money and forget about the whole other spiritual aspects and the repercussions that we know that you're going to suffer for wrongdoing. It would be easy after the flesh to let all of these things go and just try to build a bigger congregation and get a bigger inflow of money and have a big, some kind of memorial built. But that's not it. That won't help. The world is trying that and so-called churches with great steeples and monumental memorials that are left behind are their pews are filled with alcoholics and drug addicts and all of the other things that are associated with sin. And you know what those people do? They say you can't stop that. Hey, I've got news for you. We've got a message that brings deliverance. Hallelujah. Don't tell me there's no cure for the alcoholic. God can cure them in 2 minutes if they're ready. Huh? You may not believe this. Some of you may question it. But these two liars, I know what they saw. A man came to our services one time in Louisiana, and he was so drunk he couldn't hit the ground with his head. He staggered down the aisle, holding on to the end of the pew. He made his way down. He was familiar with the church. He knew what it was all about. He was raised up and around it when he was a child. He carried the church. And he made his way down the aisle. After I got through preaching, he had leaned over and asked one of the fellows close to him. He said, "Would you help me in the office? I'm having a thought, man. Boy, this is going to do a lot of good." That's the first thing that comes to our mind. Sometimes we just put so many chains around God's hand. We bind Him up with our unbelief and doubt and all that. Now, from the natural side, it just didn't look like the time for us. But there are a few people that are under the influence of alcohol has any reason in fact to speak about. And they're hard to reason with. They're hard to deal with. You know what? That man was tapped down to the office. And he came and fell in the altar and poured his heart out to God. And in a few minutes, he was speaking in the heavenly language. And you know what? When the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost, he stood up and had the biggest smile on his face, and he was so glad to grow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what God can do. I'm telling you that there's no limit to the power of God. If you really want to be corrected, God's got a message to correct you that will suit you right. You know what? The man realized he needed God, brother. He realized, brother, there was no hope outside of the church. And when he surrendered to God, God filled him with the Holy Ghost and sobered him up. Just at the snap of your fingers. I couldn't believe it hard in my face. And I stood right there and watched the whole battle as it all took place. I saw him lift his hand, all of a sudden those big tears flowing down his face. And all of a sudden I began to hear a little chatter. I turned around and looked at him speaking in a heavenly language. I couldn't understand a word he said, but I knew it was all right because I saw the countenance of his face. As the Holy Ghost took over, God set on the throne of his heart. Hallelujah. You know what it was? I believe just a little bit. He may not have known the words, and he may not have put it like Jeremiah, but I believe there was something in his heart. Correct me, Lord. Hallelujah. Correct me, God. Let me straight. Let me be right. Hallelujah. We preaching to you because we want you to be right. It would be easy. You think I would jeopardize your friendship? You think that we jeopardize our friendship with the world just because we don't think we need anybody? Undeceive yourself. We need your friendship and we want your friendship. But if it's on the basis of us telling you a lie and compromising the truth, or letting you be deceived without at least giving you the opportunity to come in contact with God's truth, forget it. We'll put it all on the line for the truth of Almighty God. We wouldn't help you a bit, and we wouldn't help ourselves. All we'd do is fall under the same condemnation with you if we didn't tell you the truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
People's downfall doesn't just happen overnight.
Amen.
God tried to correct Saul. The people cried one time, "God save the king."
Yeah.
God tried to save the king, but he didn't want to be saved. God didn't just depart from Saul and give him up for no reason. God didn't just turn around and reject him. He didn't enter into rejection in the presence of God, Brother Harris, without God's first attempt of correctional measure to reach him through the prophet Samuel. He sent Samuel to Saul, and he said, "Saul, this is what you need to do." And Saul may not like to listen, but when he got out from the presence of the prophet, he done exactly what he wanted to do. I sent and talked with people, and they nodded their head, and they said, "Yeah, I understand. Yeah, you're right. You're right." And I knew all the time they wasn't planning to do what I was telling them. They already had their mind made up. They'll come to the preacher and say, "What should I do about this?" They already got their mind made up a lot of times.
Right.
Sometimes people come for advice and they follow that advice. But sometimes I think they're just trying to hope the preacher sees things like they do, and then they let off on the preacher if it don't go right. They say, "Well, he said it's all right too, Hey, we want to help you. We want you to be saved. Hallelujah. When people used to talk to me about the Lord, I thought there's men with a hand on the tree. I'm glad they know.
That's good.
said, I'm praying for you. That seized me, Brother Randall.
Yeah.
It hurt me. Because I knew I needed prayer.
Yeah.
But I felt like they thought they were doing better than I was. It wasn't necessarily that they were better, but they were sure a fight better off. If they were in church serving God, and I was on the outside looking in, they were better off. They may not have been no better for God, family, but thank God for somebody that just ignored my sarcasm. Thank God for somebody that just ignored my stupidity. Thank God for somebody that cared enough to ignore my pleas and leave me alone. They never left me alone, and because they didn't leave me alone, God didn't leave me alone. Hey, that's the reason we're not going to leave you alone, because we can't give up on you till God gives up on you. We're going to keep fishing for you. We're going to keep preaching to you. We're going to keep praying for you. You may be sleeping sometime when there's somebody out here in the fellowship hall calling your name in prayer. You don't know. You don't know a lot of things that goes on in the spirit world. If you're not spiritually alert, you may not be aware of the time that the pastor's calling your name in prayer. You may not be aware of the time that you have caused tears to be shed or by people that you wouldn't dream ever gave you a prayer for. That's right. Things that bothered me this week that I wanted to see God do something about. I sit and cried and cried and cried and prayed and come out. At the church, I went up this morning. I started out here and I just started to pray at the house. But I got up, I couldn't sleep. It just worried me all my back. Pressing so hard on my spirit. I said, God, I want to see you do something. And listen, after the natural, the thing that I want to see, from the natural standpoint, it should mean nothing to me. But the reason I care, because God put something in my heart to make me care about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what makes this man of God stand in the pulpit with tears in his eyes a lot of times. Pleading with you to turn around. Pleading with some of you youngsters, don't go the path that you're taking. That's why my poor daddy stood a million times and said, don't leave the house tonight. I'm not glad you know what I'm saying, but it's amazing how far he's got the last few years. You know what? He did understand. He saw the path that I was taking. He saw I was headed in the wrong direction. He saw that there was no good to come out of the path that I was taking. But I thought, Brother Donald, he just didn't understand. But those gray hairs, instead of telling me that they were ignorant, he just could have told me that there's a man with experience. There's a man that's been around the block a time or two. Listen to him. Hey, I'm glad that one day I woke up and I realized that I needed God more than anything. And I needed the church. I cannot afford to disfellowship myself from the church of the living God. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Can't do it. Can't do it. Balaam said in my testimony with him, let me die like the devil like him. Let my last end be like his. God, if he sees somewhere down the future that I would ever leave him and not return, let me die tonight. Carry me out the graveyard. I want to be saved. I want to make this. I want to hear the Lord say, well done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it don't matter what other color has to do. It don't matter. If that's what it takes, I want to do it. If I have to crawl on my knees to somebody, I'm ready to do that. If I have to crawl on my knees to the house of God, I'm ready to do that. If my pastor, I tell you what, I got to go back up in church over here. I honestly believe if my pastor, I have some respect for the ministry that I believe in. Stand on my head 10 minutes every morning. I'd have been out there making an idiot out of myself trying to stand on my head. You know why? Because it just don't matter. There's no cost that would make the price too great for me to pay in order to be saved and to save my family. You hear me now? You hear me now? There is no price too great. When you start deciding, well, I'll do this as long as, forget it. I'll do it as long as this don't happen. Forget it. It's going to happen. Yeah. You're going to have your opportunity to flow into time. You're going to have your opportunity to quit. You're going to have your opportunity to find fault with everybody else and say, what did you do? But you know what? You got a purpose. Come what may. Live, die, think, or sleep. Whatever comes and goes. Whatever I have to do. Whatever I have to do to hear the Lord say, well done. That's what I want to do. Hallelujah. The day that Samuel looked at Saul and said, when he was called from the grave, why hast thou despised my spirit, seeing the Lord has despised from you and become you? And the day he really shot, he said, the Lord has taken the keys of the ring from your hand and given it to a neighbor of yours.
Yes.
That didn't just happen overnight.
Amen.
It was at the time and time and time again of reproof and correction that was being issued from the prophet of God.
Amen.
It did come. I've seen young people come and go from the house of God. I've seen people that walked out of service to their disaster and their destruction. I mean physically, never able to come back. We're going to revive on this season. I saw a young man get up and walk out with his shirt tail hanging out and a little black engineer boots on. And he just remarked to some of the kids, made a casual, kind of casual remark. He said, well, it's not for me. I think it's almost still flames of hell. Or what that group said, flames of hell reached up for me. He said, I guess I'll just die in one of these tall days. Traffic tolls. That's exactly what he did.
Oh, God.
Exactly what he did. 200 yards from the church door, he lost control of his car and hit a bridge and killed him instantly. A young man that just a few nights before sat in church and got up and walked out. Just real casual. He didn't take it serious. Brother Rutledge, he didn't really believe that way. He didn't believe that way it's going to be. And you know why he walked out the big time? Because he don't believe that's the way it's going to be. And I hope it is. I hope it is. But there's one way you can be sure that it is that way. That's to get right with God.
Oh, yeah.
Repent. Let God correct you through the preaching. A lot of terrible tragedy comes to people. And really, many times, it's God correcting them.
Right.
And they just won't do it. I saw a young man, I'll tell you about this, and I'll close. I saw a young man. We carried him to church when he was real small. And even after my wife and I married, we'd go by and pick up the family and take them to church. The youngest of the boys, he was very rebellious. He just would not mind his mother from the time go. He just has never wanted anybody to correct him about it.
Oh, God.
Never. They moved, and they became a member of the church ambassador, where Brother Joel had been pastor for a number of years. And I guess boys' folks is still attending church there. But I watched that boy grow up. He was in one thing and out of another. Out of one thing and right in the middle of another. Never would take correction. He had his own way of doing things. You know what? It didn't just happen overnight. It was constantly ignoring the pleading from the man of God. I saw a preacher, a vision evangelist. I just vision the revival over there. I saw the vision of the man that said, son, the Lord said, if you don't get right with God, you'll spend your 18th birthday in the family. Now you're saying that God loves that boy. Reach his heart.
Right.
Making the final reach. Hey, I don't know if this is the final reach we'll be able to make for you or not. If you don't say yes to God, I hope God
opportunity.
I can't promise one way or the other. I'm not saying it won't.
Oh, God.
But I can't say with certainty that you will.
Well,
you understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying that you're putting your soul on the line when you walk out to turn away from God. You know what? That boy spent his 18th birthday in the penitentiary for shooting and killing his own brother.
Oh, God.
Rebellion. You said, well, that's terrible, a boy wound up in. It is. But it wasn't without somebody reaching for him first.
Right.
His mama reached for him. The pastor reached for him. The evangelist reached for him. His stepdaddy reached for him. The church reached for him. Everybody reached for him. But he pulled away.
Oh,
and went his own way.
Oh, God.
Three times in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, the Lord declared his soon return. Sure, I come quickly. Verse 22, he said, surely I come quickly. And John prayed and said, amen.
Even so,
come Lord Jesus. Can you pray John's prayer?
Oh God.
Even so, come Lord Jesus. I'm glad I can stand before you tonight and say there's a hunger in my heart for the coming of the Lord.
Oh,
I know there's a lot of folks unsaved. But I see so much problem, so much trouble, so much chaos, so much havoc that the devil is bringing upon people. Until, Brother Jackson, I'm just hungry for the coming of the Lord.
Even
so, I'm going to pray God's prayer. Say it with me. If you can't pray that, ask yourself why not. What's wrong inside of you that keeps you from being able to say that from your heart? Even so, come Lord Jesus.
Okay.
Is there something you regard in your heart? And you said, if I drop regarding me in my heart, he won't hear. Could you be regarding something in your heart against somebody?
God.
But you don't know what they've done. Forgive.
Unconditional forgiveness.
I forgive you. I dare you. I dare you to do it. Whatever's wrong, whatever's keeping you from praying with us, even so, come Lord Jesus. Unload it. Get to your feet. Make your way to a place of prayer tonight. Would you do it? Let us stand, Talon.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is talking to us tonight, folks. I believe that. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Whatever's keeping you from praying, even so, come Lord Jesus. Unload it tonight. Is there someone else?
I must tell thee.
I must tell thee.
Jesus can help me.
I want to just point one other thing out to you, if I may. Would you bear with me another moment? We were pastoring when we were pastoring Big T Church. We were in revival. I believe it was in revival, maybe just a regular service. But a young 19-year-old girl came. She had a 3-month-old baby, wasn't it, honey? Priscilla's little baby, about 3 months old, I think. This 19-year-old girl came and knelt in the altar one night. She hadn't been coming to church. She was acquainted with the church. She knew about it. And she was related to some of the folks in the church. And she knelt and prayed a few minutes. And she was just crying. All of a sudden, she just got up and started pulling her hair right straight out from her head. She said, just leave me alone. I just can't do it right now. That's what she said. And she ran out to church and reached and grabbed her 3-month-old baby out of somebody's arms. People told us at the house that night, they're sitting around talking and they're trying to encourage her to continue to pray and seek after God. You know what she said? She said, I'm just 19. I've got plenty of time. When I finally
get married again and get settled down. Maybe we'll take our family and get in church, something like that. She said, I'm too...